This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people's stories and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thanks for listening. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan. Now, we've had so many festivals going on in our listening area. Are there any more?
Oh, yes, indeed. There is a big one, Ogden Fun Days over in Boone County. And the amazing thing to me when I looked over their schedule was how many events were different from the others we've reported in past weeks.
Really?
One of the co-chairs, Ogden Fun Days co-chair, is on the air with us, will be on the air with us. Ben Hollingshead is on the phone. Why did you ask him what's going on?
Well, hello, Ben. I hope you're there.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It sounds like you're, in your voice, I hear great excitement. Now, this is the big weekend for Ogden Fun Days, June 27 to 29. And it says, have a yabba-dabba-do time, right? Is that your theme?
Yeah, that's our theme. Obviously, toying in with the Flintstones. So, you know, we kind of, that's been kind of one of our key pieces is we always try and tie a theme in that can get people, you know, orientated around something and have a little bit of fun with it.
Well, you always need a theme, right? Now, this festival is a little unusual. You start Thursday and go Friday, Saturday. So it's a three-day festival, and you begin on Thursday. And Thursday, what's happening on there are water buffaloes. What's going on with water buffaloes?
Well, so the Ogden Water Buffaloes is our – it's the men's club in town, which there's still – we have various groups in Ogden between – the Ogden Water Buffaloes, the Ogden Legacy, there's a women's group, and, you know, really we, and I would say we recruit volunteers and they help with fundraising, and, you know, those groups are really, really key to being able to put on some of the activities that we do. You know, we have a group called Cheers. It's a young, up, you know, for younger people that are in the community, and they put on a bags tournament during Fun Days. So, you know, just a bevy of volunteers that we depend on to make the activities happen. So.
Well, with an organization like that, you probably have a need for volunteers other times of the year, and you can tap into these groups. That's very good to form these groups. Excellent.
Yeah. We sure try. And like I said, obviously, you're always in need of volunteers. So we're always looking and soliciting for more.
So on Thursday, we have pony rides. We have the water buffaloes, the Iowa DNR wildlife exhibit. And you've got a carnival going all 3 days. Is that right?
That's correct. So, yeah, new this year we have Scott's Amusements, which there's several people, you know, maybe a generation ago they would remember the old Smith's Amusements. And anyway, we were approached. Rob Scott purchased that carnival from Smith's. They had retired. And, of course, carnivals are getting a little bit sparser. You know, there's just not as many people that are doing it. But we were very excited when we heard about this and then were approached that they wanted to come to Fun Days, and you know, that's something that we were pretty excited about, to have a full 3 day carnival again. We switched it up and did some inflatables last year, had a good time with it, but we weren't able to afford to have them there all 3 days.
So the carnival rides would be the traditional rides you'd expect for a carnival experience, right?
That's correct.
Now, you also have a Quilts of Valor display. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, so there's a group of women in the community that they have went, and each year they have sewn together these quilts that we present to our veterans, really to honor and thank them for their service, and that, I would say we you know, and we also have our veterans float in the parade. We started that I guess it's been years ago now, and it's really become I would say a tradition that's just something that I don't know. We get a lot of thanks and praise over that, and really people come out to see that and show their gratitude for all those veterans.
That's a great opportunity to do so. And speaking of the parade, that's at 10 o'clock on Saturday, right?
Yes, jumping ahead, at 10 o'clock on Saturday. So that's a big thing for everybody to come out and see. And then we get a lot of people that come into the park for the afternoon activities after that.
Yes, and I hope the Ogden Marching Band is part of that. I've seen them perform at football games, and they're very good.
Mm-hmm. The school, I mean, of course, summertime, you always have families, vacations, and stuff's happening. But, in Ogden, we've kept it this same weekend for several years now. Really, I don't know, I suppose it's been seven years or so that we've been doing it at this weekend before the 4th of July. And that's given the people in the community to kind of know, okay, Fun Days is going to be at this time of year. And then we started seeing people, they kind of schedule, they're like, hey, we're going to do Fun Days this weekend, or we're going to be here for Fun Days. That's been really nice. And we've had a lot of groups that come in for reunions. They've scheduled their reunions during Fun Days.
Yeah, that happens in my town too, Story City. We have Scandinavian Days, and every year several classes mm-hmm. have reunions. So it's nice to be able to plan every year when you make those reunion plans, because nowadays you span all across the country to find classmates, So you've got to have a target date for anyone can be there. Also, tractor rides, right? There are going to be tractor rides.
Yeah, so that's another activity that there's a group of guys that we really like to have them, if they can, drive through the parade. People love to see the old tractors. And then as soon as the parade is over, then they go out and they go on a short afternoon little tractor ride. Of course, over here, the Des Moines River Valley is really pretty scenic, and there's a lot of pretty back roads that you can get on and really, really enjoy being outside. So,
wow, it sounds fun. In fact, I spent a lifetime riding in a tractor in a cornfield up there, Story City, for hours mm-hmm. and hours cultivating corn. I don't know if I got on the tractor to take a ride if I'd have a flashback or what. But I might venture to do that. Also, you have Bayer Crop Science. They're going to be doing some special things. Do you know much about that display?
Yeah, so they do a seatbelt demonstration, and then they're going to be doing a chemical demonstration. So that's been one. I think they came a couple years ago, they've wanted to be a part of it, and we're glad to have them.
Good. I suppose the seatbelt demonstration convinces you forever to wear a seatbelt. It must be pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent little display that they put up. So, and that's where we really try and have, obviously the carnival is one of the focal points, but, having some of those side activities, it keeps people engaged, keeps them, they gives them the opportunity to walk around and do some activities. And obviously the cornerstone of Fun Days, really the roots of Fun Days, goes all the way back into the Great Depression. And, it was meant to be a affordable, fun weekend for families to come out. And we've done our best, and our sponsors are absolutely key to being able to make, carnivals and activities. It costs quite a bit, and so we really, really depend on all of our sponsors to make those things happen.
Well, I think that's true in most communities. I didn't know that Ogden went that far back. How many years have they had Ogden Fun Days?
It goes back into the Great Depression.
So, yeah, you just said that. I couldn't believe that this festival dates all the way back to that time. That's remarkable.
No, it's been several years ago now, but we went into the Ogden Reporter, the newspaper in there, and there's archives of it, you know, from back when they started it. So, in fact, I've a multi-generational family in the community, and I still, as a kid, remember my great grandmother. You know, it was very important to her to get those carnival tickets and get them bought, because it just was something that, you know, they really put a lot of time and effort into to get the thing kicked off to have an activity for the community.
Well, when something goes back that far, it's a labor of love, because nobody wants to live without fun days. If it goes back to the 1920s, you'd have a whole generation of guilty people if that tradition failed.
Yeah.
So I have a question. We did a program several years ago about Ogden Fun Days, and my recollection at that time was that they expected 4,000 people to come to Fun Days. Is that your expectation this year or not?
Well, I guess I have never really put a head count, a number count on. But when you figure between the parade, and then obviously our big item on Fridays is our car show, which kind of keeps getting bigger and bigger, and that oh boy, you know, I mean, when you have a couple hundred cars, and then there's people that come to see the cars, and then the people that come with the vehicles, I mean, it fills up the whole, our entire Main Street. So that must be a
classic car show. Is that right? No, the old
motor shows. So we've got cars and motorcycles and tractors and, you know, anything with wheels that people bring in. I mean, it's I tell you what, it kind of gets, pending, knock on wood, you get good weather, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we find ourselves working with the Ogden Police Department and the Street Department. It seems like we're always blocking off, you know, just a little bit more each year, but that makes it really, really enjoyable. So, no, it's turned into a great, great event on Friday, and really, that's kind of one of the cornerstone pieces on Friday.
So the classic car show would be your cornerstone on Friday. And that would be from my era, where cars were made of chrome and metal. And
no.
There were no seat belts, and you just bounced around when you hit something.
Oh, yeah.
But we lived dangerously. And, you know, now we have 33 miles to the gallon. I remember 8 gallons to the mile, some of those big Buicks. I see you have a drive-in movie, too. Tell me about the drive-in movie.
So working backwards, that's on Thursday night. Now, obviously, we started that probably seven, eight years ago now, I suppose. And we try to tie our theme into the movie, and we set up a big inflatable screen in the high school parking lot, and I will say we're batting about 500. It seems like, you know, we've got to watch, never fails, we get a little rain or something, but you know, that's the way the outdoor movies go. But boy, people really, a lot of families come out, and we really try to select a movie that's going to be fun, all ages, family friendly.
That's terrific. And, you know, I really enjoy drive-ins. I think there's maybe one or two left in Iowa. But I remember being at a drive-in movie when it rained, and that was underwhelming. But I'm so thrilled you have a drive-in movie. Now, this has been real fun talking about that. This is Ogden Fun Days. Have a yabba-dabba-do time. It'll be Thursday, the 27th of June, through Saturday, the 29th. And we've had Ben Hollingshead here on our show. And, Ben, good luck on the yabba-dabba-do time. Ogden Fun Days. Okay. Thanks
we'll
a lot,
do.
Ben.
Hey, thanks
good luck.
For having me on.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
sailing around the sea of life to everywhere the wind's been blowing. It's like a dull edge of a knife, always right but never knowing. It's a mixed up world,
you know it's true.
In case you just tuned in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franson. My co-host, Paul Wearson, has just been talking with Ben Hollingshead, one of the co-chairs of Ogden Fun Days, telling you why it deserves its name. It sounds as if the town of Ogden is ready to show its citizens and its many visitors a really good time this weekend. But now is the time to move on to a very different kind of activity taking us around our listening area. We have Haley Eason and Brenda Schrager here in the studio to tell us about Central Iowa Junk Jaunt Vintage Road Trip.
Well, Haley and Brenda, welcome. And that's almost a tongue twister. Central Iowa Junk Jaunt Vintage Road Trip.
Correct.
Well, who wants to tell us about what this is? So our audience is just waiting to hear what this is.
Well, Haley gave me the wink, so I'm Brenda. I'll start.
Oh, Brenda will start. Yeah.
I'll give a little history because that's kind of where I'm at. It started in 2009 at my store in the small town of Gilbert, and I did it just to kind of I noticed that there were several barns in the area that were doing little pop-up vintage sales. I was a vintage shop. We wanted to bring them all together to just have more people come and see our towns. And that's how it started. It actually was called the Breakfast Club because I used to serve a little breakfast, and that got way out of hand at some point. So that's how it started, and it's been going. It started once a year in 2009. We did it a summer and fall in 2010, and it's been going on since then.
So this thing just kind of grows like Topsy, and before you know it, you have a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, tell us about what's going to happen and when.
It's going to be this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Starts Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then Sunday we do 10 to 4. And basically, it's kind of a leisurely weekend kind of do it yourself. We have a map on our website, and basically all these juried, there's brick and mortar, there's barns, there's occasional sales, and a couple new ones on the map. And basically you can just plan your own road trip. We basically give you the best stops in town, in each little small town. We're encouraging small, shop small. And, you just kind of set your own pace. Lots of girls' weekends, lots of moms and families going out and just seeing what's out there. So
there's a whole audience for this, people who are almost addicted to this kind of activity.
Yeah.
And this gives them structure
and
a place to go. Is there a kickoff where everyone gets together, or everyone just starts wherever they start?
Yes. Basically, you can start wherever. We have on the map, we have stops 1 through 21. There's 21 stops on our map this year. So you can start at 1, or you can start in the middle if you want. So
now, what are the towns and areas that – because some of these are out in the country and not in towns.
Correct.
So where are they?
So this summer event, they are in – we're kind of like outside of Ames, in Ames. There's a couple stops in Ames. We're moving through Gilbert, Story City. There's some Boone Countryside, Roland Countryside, and then up to Jewel. That Jewel's about the northest stop on the map.
Well, Jewel impressed me because – there were 6 stores, and they were all on the Main Street.
Yes.
So basically, this is come visit Main Street Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
But Boone, it looked to me like they were all in the country.
Boone is in the countryside, and really, this has never been a static event. It's something that changes every single time.
Mm-hmm.
We love to have people on more than once, but sometimes people retire. People just do sell stuff out of the barn for one time only. What it really encourages is people to come see the small towns in our area and maybe get an idea like they did in Jewel. I'm not saying we were the only reason that there's now 6 vintage brick-and-mortar stores in Jewel, but get the idea that maybe they could have a retail spot and maybe we could revive this small town. So that's one of the big goals of what we do, not just sell, but sell our small towns, sell our community, sell our eating places. It's working so far.
Well, all you have to do is have people come to town and see what the town has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, when you drive into my town, Story City, you're presented by the parks, the swimming pool, the carousel, and the beautiful golf course. And so when you come off the interstate, it's a tremendous impression.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the only town that has that. If you Jewel, for instance, there's a sign outside of town that says Jewel, a gem in a friendly setting. I've always liked that sign. And, you know, all these communities have their own savoir-faire, the thing that turns them on. And I think that there's a real revival of these antique and stores like you're talking about in these small towns because we have several in Story City. I've forgotten how many we have in Story City, 2 or 3.
Absolutely, yes. There's a new one on, and it's actually a clothing boutique. So we're not so stuffy that we cannot get past vintage.
Mm-hmm.
But she is going to have a vintage camper outside her store selling vintage. She is selling cute clothes. People on the jaunt want to see a myriad of things. They don't want to just have people looking for all sorts of stuff.
Well, one of the things that occurred to me as you were talking about this 3-day event is – oh, my gosh, what happens if it rains? And if you have everything out in front of your barn or in front of your shop.
Sure.
I know that your shop, J.B. Knacker, I've been there when you had the yard all full.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a 3-day event and you have rain, people can go to the brick-and-mortar stores on the rainy day, and then people can really put their stuff out on the nice days.
Yeah, if it rains, everyone goes to Plan B.
So, well, I'll tell you, junkers are pretty hardy folk, and especially the ones that set up at shows over and over again. We just make sure we have lots of towels in the shop. We dry off, and we go on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still be outside. We take cover, and we make sure everybody's safe, but otherwise – and it's going to be hot this weekend as well.
Very hot. Yes, I saw the forecast. We're going to be in the 90s. So,
so you know what that means.
Yes.
It means we make sure we have plenty of water at all the stops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think people want to have good junk. They want to find they want to interact with their family and friends, have fun. They want to be fed good food. And they want to know where the bathrooms are. Yeah, that's kind of what we have figured out.
Where are the bathrooms? Where's the food? These are all creature comforts you've got to have. Yeah. Now, this has been growing every year, I take it, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It has. This year, we have two events. This is our first one for the year, and then we also have a fall one.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Now, give us your website, because that's where they can print the map.
Yep.
Right?
CentralIowaJunkJaunt.com.
Central Iowa
Junk Jaunt. Yep.
That's hard for me to say.
I know.
But that's the website, and that means you can go there and print out this map, mm-hmm. and an idiot like me could follow this map.
Yep.
And I wouldn't get lost. My bad dream is being lost in Jewel Junction.
You know? It still is called that.
So I'm so thankful that that was the original name, Jewel Junction. And that's very comforting to know there's a map. And I really hope that people turn out for this. That's going to be this weekend. Refresh us on when it begins.
Yep, Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 5, and then on Sunday, 10 to 4.
So that all is on your website,
yep,
too.
Yep, all of it. And you can even see previews of some of the stops. We've been doing pictures on Facebook and our Instagram. Yep, so some of those junkers who are, you know, ready for this jaunt, they're already scoped out the stops they want first. So.
I love the internet and all these websites. They're so informative. Mm-hmm. And that's something that just wasn't able to be done years ago. Mm-hmm. So the old saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so the website, I'm glad you have pictures and coverage of what these places look like. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad there's a map.
Well, actually, marketing has changed so much, but as you were talking, I was just comparing these really small towns who are too small to have a festival, although Cambridge had a pretty good festival
Collins.
I know Collins, with under 500 people. That is the really impressive one. But nevertheless, it's a lot of work and expense to have a festival, and there may not be enough weekends. So your weekend is, you know, people who want to go to Ogden and want the festival experience can go there. But a lot of people, just to drive around in the country and look for bargains, mm-hmm. of course, that's the real beauty,
yep.
the vintage.
Yes, it is. Your heart pounding as you drive up to a barn full of all these, you know, vintage goods.
Treasures.
Well, it must be heartwarming to watch someone discover something that they didn't know existed, and maybe they've been looking for this, and they find it. What I really like is the opportunity to keep brick-and-mortar stores alive on Main Street in small mm-hmm. towns, because we all know that small towns are really having a hard time filling downtown spaces. Mm-hmm. And that's really been true in Story City, where the stores that you mentioned really have helped the community. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing back a little retail energy. You know?
Yeah, it is. I think there's something called rural revival that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, this is an event that encourages that and encourages people to see a small town as something people would always wonder, why the heck did you open a store in Gilbert, Iowa? And it's been good to me for 14 years. There's a lot to be had in a small town.
Well, the thing about these stores that you're mentioning, I just think there's an underground of people who are into this, and they find these places. Mm-hmm. And so you can be in a small town and people find you because they're connoisseurs mm-hmm. of this stuff.
And sometimes they like to keep that secret, but we're all about bringing that secret to everybody. So someone can find these hidden gems, these little eateries, these cafes that on these beautiful brick and mortar vintage that you just go in and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how big this store is and how much stuff you guys have. And you can just spend hours looking.
So. It's like an educational trip because these are things you didn't know or have knowledge of even existing. Mm-hmm. And here you find out because you've been deliberately going through this map. That's what I like about it, deliberately going through the map. And I'm one who still follows maps. I still like to fold out the paper. I'm ancient, I guess. I'm going to try to say this one more time correctly. The Central Iowa Junk Jaunt Vintage Road Trip.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. I did well, didn't I?
Yes.
Now, refresh us on when it starts again.
It's going to be Friday at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday 10 to 4.
And you can follow the road trip map and start anywhere you like. And you can just have a great time. And refresh us again on your website so they can print that map.
Yeah, centraliowajunkjaunt.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram also.
Well, we've had Haley and Brenda on here today to talk about the Central Iowa Jaunt. Junk Jaunt. Here I go. The Central Iowa Junk Jaunt Vintage Road Trip coming up this weekend with a variety of stores where you can find all that vintage stuff you love to hunt for, and this time there can be a method to your madness. So thank you, Haley and Brenda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been traveling far and wide over our listening areas.
Hey, we're really going a long ways here. That's the theme from 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, and it's entirely appropriate for what's happening today in your hometown of Story City.
Yes, I saw a picture in the Story City Herald that looked like an inflatable black dome. It said something about a universe of stories. Sounded like a planetarium to me, and we're going to find out what it's all about.
Yes, we have just the person to tell us about it. It's the library director, Colleen Taylor.
Hello, Colleen. Are you there?
I am here. I hope you can hear me all right.
No, you're coming through loud and clear. And tell us about this black dome.
Well, it is a portable planetarium. It's called a digital star lab. And it is something that is available through Heartland AEA. I have some wonderful staff members that put together the summer reading program, and Rochelle Gruel, most know her as Shelley, she discovered this and requested that it be brought to Story City for part of our summer reading program. It is large. It holds about 25 adults at one time, but you get to see the evening sky uninhibited by rain, snow, sleet, or clouds, which this summer seems to be almost an impossibility.
Well, yes. Now, this black dome, is it going to be inflated at the library or where?
No. Our library building isn't large enough to hold it. So
I didn't think so.
We're going to have it's going to be at the Story City Recreation Center. The Tweens and Teens, which is a program that Shelley coordinates, and Emma Dubois, who is our youth services coordinator, those two are going to be, she has organized the teens and the tweens to come in at 10:30 and to view it, and then it's also available at noon for adults and families that might want to come and see what this is all about.
So now they register to participate, so you have a limited number of people who can come in, is that right?
Right. Right, and we have about 60 teens and tweens that are registered right now for the early. So obviously they have conflicts and different things that go on for our actual programming days, But we're pretty sure that they'll about fill up for the 10:30 portion, and there's a specific program for them. The group that is bringing it in, as I said, is the Heartland AEA. It is an educational tool. So learning about the constellations and the stars and how the sky shifts and moves is going to be something that will also be presented for adults later on at noon.
So how many sessions are there? You're registering people to be in there at specific times, right?
Well, we have not. I kind of put it out there to ask to make sure that we've got enough room. I've got a few people that we know are coming, but there's room for more at this point at the noon showing. The 10:30 program, that is pretty limited to the kids that are already involved with the tween and the teen programs. But the adult session, I think we still got room. I actually would encourage people to call if they are planning on coming and let me know how many would be there, because it is limited. There is much space.
They would call the library then. Well, let's talk about the adults who might come. They'd call the library to make sure they can register to come in.
Yes. Yes, and that number is 733-2685.
Okay, so people can come in and go to a session. How many sessions are there altogether?
We're just doing the two. I made a special request after I realized what was being brought in to stay longer, to allow more of our community to see what this is about. It's a classroom tool that the students have seen in some places. I don't know if they've been to Story City before, but some children have probably experienced this at some point during their school year. But I don't know how long it's been there, so this may be a unique opportunity. So I wanted to make it available for adults also.
Well, that's a fantastic thing. Who sponsors this, Colleen?
It's through the AEA. The summer reading program is sponsored, of course, by local libraries in conjunction with the State Library of Iowa. The topic this year is in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the first spacewalk. So, we always try to work in cooperation. Obviously, the Rec Center has been very generous in allowing us to take over a portion of their building this morning. And it's just a big collaboration of people that are wanting to get all ages to understand a little bit more about how important the space program has been to this country. And for our future, so that people are interested in it and understand better what this world and universe is all about.
Well, yes, I remember actually watching the moon landing back in 1969, and that's the anniversary coming up in July. So all of this is very, very timely, and I bet the kids are really interested. Now, tell me about these summer programs. I'm sure that all libraries have some sort of summer reading program, and I think that studies have shown that kids who don't do anything like that in the summer lose some of their acuity for the fall.
Most libraries have some kind of a summer reading program for at least the children of K through 4. We try to extend it all the way down to infants. So we start at infant level. We have a special program for them and for every age group through adults. It is extremely important to keep those brain cells working all summer long, and we have a tendency to want to just kick back and relax. All of us do that, but just a little bit of encouragement, like through a summer reading program, can keep people stimulated, can keep the children involved, and what's really exciting is when we can get them interested in something to explore something they may have never thought of before. That's one of the advantages the library has, is you can go any direction to learn more. And our curriculum is open-based. We've got a million different subjects that are covered in the library, and kids have a chance to explore, and so do adults.
I really like the whole idea of summer reading programs. Now, the tween group, that's ages, what, 13 through 15 or something?
Tweens are like 10, 11, 12. Before they're teenagers.
Okay.
And then the teenagers are like 13 through 18.
And you have good participation in these groups, is that right?
We do. We have real good. We have about 15 to 20 tweens, and between 5 and 10 teens. And of course, we do this program also. These programs are also included in our Gilbert branch, but they have participation too, which is really unique because it's such a small library and small community. But we do have programs for those age groups. Normally, those two groups split. We have 10:30 is our normal program for our tweens, and then we do another program at 1 that is led by Emma for just the teens. But today we're combining them for this special program.
That's great. You know, there's also an adult group, isn't there, for the summer?
There is. There is. The actual reading logs is a bingo card, which encourages adults to look at the titles of books and encompass somewhere in the title key words that tie into the universe of stories in some way, shape, or form. So there's keywords on the bingo card, and then people are encouraged to read books like that. It forces people out of their comfort zone a little bit. We all tend to have our favorite types of books, and this kind of makes you think outside your normal box of genres. And it kind of laughs at some of the titles that people are coming up with that they're walking and say, well, these are the books I read to hit the bingo, and we've had some already hit bingo. But it is making people kind of reach beyond the stars a little bit to get their reading log fulfilled. So the adult program is a little bit unique. We have a book club that met yesterday. We also have a knitting group for adults that meets on Fridays. But and our book club was discussing This Blessed Earth, which again kind of ties into the theme of the universe, the earth being part of it, and also talks about the impact to farmers in the last few years with the drastic changes in the way people farm from the last century to the different types of issues that are going on with, everything, weather, life in general. So,
well, now
we've got programs for everybody.
Tell us about your unique partnership with the city of Gilbert, Colleen. We have Roland Story, or Story City, has the Bertha Bartlett Library, and that building was built in 1994. Now, tell us about your relationship with Gilbert. That's sort of a satellite for you.
It is a branch. Actually, it's a formal branch library location, and it is a library. We're open 4 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. And we are in contract with the city of Gilbert. They were previously had a location that they had a bookmobile that was operated by the Ames Public Library. And in 2011, they approached us to see if we would be willing to take over the contract. Which we went through all the proper channels and set up an arrangement, and we are able to, through funding by them, we are able to operate a full library of about 1,800 square feet. I've estimated we probably have about 2,500 to 3,000 books there. It's a living library because we rotate all of our new selections. We share our collections that we had existing on our shelves. So all of the investment that has been made by our community, the community of Story City, has the opportunity to be elongated a little bit by going to Gilbert periodically and allowing the community of Gilbert to also read some of the same materials. It's an opportunity for extreme upcycling, I would say, because whether it's our Western collection, science fiction, readership from one community to the other is always widely diverse, and this allows us to explore different types of books that maybe we thought we would have readers in Story City and maybe didn't find them there, and we take it to Gilbert and we find readers there. So it helps a book live a little longer.
Well, I think one thing you have is great for people who do genealogy and try to trace their family backgrounds. You have a lot of material there, too, don't you?
We do. We do. It's not the largest genealogy library in the state of Iowa, but it is pretty decent. One of the unique things we have are the Norwegian Fichte books that many libraries, well, almost no libraries have anywhere in the state of Iowa, maybe not even in the country. I'm not real sure about that. But Fichte books are a trace family genealogy back in Norway, and with the strong Scandinavian community that we have here in Story City and the surrounding communities, people are able to come in, and if they're good at reading Norwegian, they can find stories about their own families from many years ago.
That's so fantastic.
Very unique part.
Many times I've been in the library in Story City, and someone comes in, really seeking that sort of material. Now, Colleen, before we leave you, let's talk about that special event again. Tell us what it is and when it is.
It's the Star Lab that's going to be coming. It's a portable planetarium. It will be at the Story City Recreation Center today at noon, and it's available for people if they would call 733-2685 and let us know that they are coming to bring their eat and how many will be coming so that we know if we have enough room for people. I might be able to talk to the organizers of it to stay a little longer if people want to just kind of walk inside and see it, but I think they have an actual program that will be going on from 12 to 1.
Very good. Colleen Taylor with Bertha Bartlett Library in Story City. With an upcoming event that's going to be special, you can walk into an inflatable planetarium. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you very much.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and Paul Wearson has just been talking with Colleen Taylor, director of the Bertha Bartlett Library in Story City, about an amazing opportunity available there today as part of the National Summer Reading Program, A Universe of Stories. But that's not all that's coming up in Story City. This is the time for the traditional duck race. And, Paul, I think you've been active in that in past years, haven't you?
Yes, I have. But this year, I'm not sure what's going to happen because our swinging bridge has been damaged by the ice storm. Well, all that ice flow that came down in the torrential rain and flooding damaged our precious swinging bridge. And that was the starting point for the duck race. So, man, we have to talk about what we're going to do this year.
Yeah. Well, I think that Jay Wilson at the Greater Chamber is the person to ask about that. And
I hope Jay's on the line. Jay.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Well, we're talking with you again. It's the duck race time, and I'm really curious, where does the duck race begin this year?
See, the duck race, it's been an interesting year. Like I was telling Susan the other day, the theme for Scandinavian Days was Oofta. It's been an Oofta year. And we've been kind of thinking about this ever since spring hit when we lost the bridge. We thought, well, we could do it here, we could do it there. And it came down to about a month earlier, a month from today, and we were talking with the fire department and asking their, you know, thoughts. And they said, well, let us handle it. We'll get everything figured out. And they were really excited about putting something together, how we're going to do it on Broad Street. So we're going to block off one block from Penn Avenue down to Elm Avenue. Wow. And the fire department's going to set up all their stuff, and we're going to kind of rush them down the street and create our own little river.
That is really creative, because for our audience at home, the swinging bridge is one of the great things in Story City. It was a WPA project in 1936, and it was damaged by all the big ice flows that washed down in the flooding this spring. And actually, it's going to take quite a while to repair that bridge. So in past days, we had people, usually teenage boys, doing this. They would dump the rubber duckies into the water from the bridge, and then they would go down to a little waterfall. And who ends up first? And you can win all kinds of prizes. But I'm trying to get my head around this, Jay. Now, they're going to just use their fire hoses, right, to create a river?
Kind of, yes. Not at full pressure, because that would, like, blast them down the street, and they might end up actually on the swinging bridge in South Park.
We don't want any rubber duckies moving at terminal velocity.
Yes. Trajectory speed, yes.
I could just see that on CBS News. Several people were injured by flying duckies. So they're going to start on Main Street, and I'm going to be there, because that sounds really hard to do. But the fire department's confident that they can get those rubber duckies moving at the right speed, right, Jay?
Yes, yes. Again, they were so excited about the opportunity for to get this figured out and logistics, and they said they had a couple things they tried. They're like, yeah, those didn't work.
Okay.
We thought we had good plans, and those didn't work. So we actually met with them on Monday, and we talked about some different things. And we're like, okay, I think this one's going to work.
Yeah.
So we're giving it a test run, but they're very confident that they can make these ducks swim down the street. And
why is this important?
The duck race?
The duck race. I actually, we have a testimonial here in the studio.
Oh, yes, our engineer.
Yeah, I can say I participated in the duck race and won. It was awesome. it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, there are various prizes that all the local merchants furnish. And I remember one teenage boy who won a tea set. And, of course, this is published in the Herald, you know, and he was ashamed that he'd won the tea set. So his mother went in to pick it up. But he was embarrassed. He won a tea set in the duck race.
Yeah, and there's, you know, you might get a prize that you might not like, but, you know, I encourage everybody to, if you win something you don't like, trade it with somebody else.
Yes, that's right. And the
I've got something to trade from the duck race.
Well, now, Jay, when is this momentous event, the duck race?
It's coming up tomorrow night, actually. At 5:30, we're going to launch these little rubber duckies down Broad Street towards Elm Avenue, and they're kind of just going to kind of ride along the curb, and they're going to form a line towards the end, towards the gutter, and they're going to, well, we're going to fuck them up as number one crosses the line. And we're going to give away the first six prizes tomorrow night. We usually just announce the first prize of $1,000, but we're going to announce the first six.
Okay, now, what time do people meet on Broad Street then?
Oh, they can meet at 5.
Okay.
We'll have the streets blocked off about 4:30.
Okay.
They can start coming down at 5. And actually, after the duck race, we've got a barbecue on Broad part planned.
Is that right? A barbecue,
yes.
Too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you see, we usually do a picnic afterwards, so since we don't have it in the park, we're going to do a barbecue on Broad.
And do you have some music? I saw something online about...
Yes.
What's that?
Well, we won't have live music. We'll have some music in the background playing.
Well, I tell you what, before we go out today on the show, I warn you, we're going to play Rubber Ducky, so...
But now, I love that song. I've heard the duck race.
I've heard Cry Me a River. Now we're going to Make Me a River. So
Make Me a River, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be at Story City, the duck race right on Main Street. And I'm going to be there just to see if I'll have new respect for the fire department if they pull this off. They're going to make a river on Broad Street.
Oh. Yes, I'm truly confident they can make this happen.
Okay, well, James Wilson, thank you from the Chamber in Story City. Duck race coming up tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. Right on Broad Street.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo, bo, bo-dee-o. Rubber ducky, joy of joys. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber ducky, you're my very best friend, it's true. Oh, every day when I make my way to the tubby, I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby. Rub-a-dub-dubby, rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Hey, rubber ducky, would you like me to scrub your back with my nifty little scrub brush? You would? Okay, how's this? Hey, you want me to scrub behind your ears?
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Ben Hollingshead, Haley Eason, Brenda Schweiger, Colleen Taylor, and Jay Wilson.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on KHOI at 89.1 FM, and on Mondays and Wednesdays at 5 on Fridays. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website. That's at khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org.
Local Talk was engineered by Cynthia McClure. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Monroe Crossing, theme from 2001 A Space Odyssey, which is also from the Spake Therasustra by Strauss. Holst, The Planet Suite Mars, played by the London Philharmonic, and Rubber Ducky Song from Sesame Street.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also where you need to go to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership. Do it today. Just look for the yellow donate button.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI meaningful and possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.